Utility with automation on pads. Intermediate level in Ableton Live. Let's make your pads feel huge in the drop, focused in the verse, and still solid when the track gets played back in mono. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a clean, repeatable pad chain using stock devices, and you'll know a few go-to automation shapes that work specifically for drum and bass and jungle phrasing. All right, first, zoom out for the big idea. In DNB, pads do two jobs. They create space and they carry emotion. But if you just make a pad wide all the time, it stops being special, and it can also start stepping on the snare, the vocal, and especially the bass. So we're going to treat with automation like a focus knob, not just a hype knob. Narrow equals tension and room for drums. Wide equals impact and atmosphere. Let's start by choosing a pad that actually behaves well when you start whitening it. If you're using stock Ableton, an easy option is Wave Eatable. Set up a simple harmonically stable pad, a saw wave on oscillator 1, and then a sine or triangle quietly on oscillator 2, just to add a little body without making it buzzy. Add unison lightly, like 2 to 4 voices, low amount. The key is, don't build a pad that's already a swirling stereo mess before we even touch utility. We want a stable core that we can direct. And rhythm-wise, keep it simple. Sustained chords. Half-bar swells. Long notes. In rolling 174 BPM DNB, the drums and bass are already doing a lot. The pad should feel like the room, not like another drum loop. Now let's build the device chain. On the pad track, load these in order. First, EQ8. Second, a utility that's specifically for low mono control. Then optionally a chorus ensemble or a phaser flanger, if you want movement. Then hybrid reverb. Then a second utility that will be your main width automation control. And finally, optionally, a compressor if you want sidechain from the kick or kick and snare. Let's dial in starting settings. On EQ8, start with a high-pass filter somewhere between 120 and 250 Hz. And yes, in DNB it's often higher than you think. You're not trying to keep warmth down there. You're trying to stop the pad from fighting the sub and the reese. If the pad feels boxy or cloudy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 500 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, wide Q. If it feels sharp, take a little out around 2 to 6 kHz. Keep it subtle. We're cleaning, not redesigning. Now utility number 1, the low mono utility. Turn on bass mono and set it around 120 to 200 Hz. This is a big deal. The club system, the sub, and the center image in DNB all depend on low-end stability. We're basically saying, pad lows get to exist, but they do not get to be Y. Next, your reverb. Hybrid reverb is great. An algorithmic hall or plate usually works well for Atmos. Set decay somewhere like 2 to 5 seconds. Darker tunes can go longer, but you usually need more filtering if you do. Predelay, 15 to 35 milliseconds. That predelay is your secret weapon for keeping drums punchy. It puts the reverb behind the transient instead of on top of it. And filter the reverb. Roll off lows. Seriously, be aggressive. A lot of DNB mud is just low and low mid reverb smearing over the snare body. Now utility number 2. This is the width automation utility. Start width around 80 to 100%. Not maxed. We want headroom for the arrangement to expand. Quick teacher note here. Pick one stereo generator and make utility the stereo director. In other words, decide where your stereo complexity comes from. Maybe it's unison, or chorus, or wide reverb. But if you stack unison plus chorus plus massive reverb plus 200% width, the image becomes unpredictable and facey. Choose one or two, then use utility to steer the image over time. Cool. Now we're ready to make this musical in the arrangement. Go to Arrangement View and press it to show automation lanes. On your pad track, choose the utility that's your width automation utility and select the width parameter. Before we draw anything, let's decide where width changes should happen. Think in DNB phrases, 8 bars, 16 bars, 32 bars. A simple plan is, intro narrower, build whitening, drop wide and stable, breakdown collapses, second drop wide again with maybe a little movement. Width automation lets you create contrast without adding new instruments. That's huge. Because DNB arrangements can feel repetitive if you rely only on drums and bass edits. Stereo contrast makes the listener feel like the section changed, even if the chord is the same. Let's program three automation shapes you can reuse constantly. Shape 1. Intro narrow to drop wide. This is the classic the room opens up move. For your intro, try something like 40 to 70% width. Pick a value like 60% so it's clearly narrower than normal. Then through the build, ramp up to something like 120 to 160%. And in the drop, You can sit somewhere between 140 and 200% depending on how dense your pad is and how wet it is. A concrete example. Bars 1 through 17 at 60%. Bar 17 through 25 ramp from 60 up to 160. Then bar 25 onward hold around 150. That's usually wide enough to feel cinematic without turning into face soup. As you do this, listen to the snare. If the snare suddenly feels smaller when the pad widens, that's your cue. Your sides are probably too active in the snare body region, roughly 200 to 800 Hz. The fix is often not turn the pad down. It's reduce side energy in that zone. We'll come back to that. Shape 2, breakdown collapse. This is a tension tool, and it's ridiculously effective in darker DNB. Right before a fill, a vocal stab, or a switch, pull the width down hard over 1 to 2 bars, like from 160% down to 20 or 40%. Then snap it back right on the drop. It feels like a door slamming shut, then opening again. That contrast reads as impact. Shape 3, the breathing width pulse. This is for long sustained chords where you want movement without adding obvious modulation. You can draw a gentle oscillation between, say, 110 and 160%. Do it slowly, like one bar or two bars per cycle. DNB friendly timing tip. Try syncing these changes to two bar phrases, because a lot of drum variation and fills happen in two or four bar blocks. Keep it subtle. If it starts sounding like a special effect, you went too far. Now, we need to talk about the two things that will mess you up if you skip them: mono compatibility and perceived loudness. First, mono. Temporarily add a utility at the very end of your master track. Turn on mono. Now listen to the drop, especially at your widest moments. If the pad disappears, turns hollow, or gets weirdly facey, you have too much out-of-phase stereo information. If that happens, do the simplest fixes first. Reduce width on the pad. Reduce unison or chorus amount. Filter your reverb more aggressively. And here's a big one. Consider widening the wet reverb return rather than the dry pad itself. Keeping the dry pad more centered often preserves power and translates better. Also, if you're on Live 12, open Spectrum and enable the correlation meter. You don't want the pad living near zero or going negative during the drop. Occasional dips can happen with wide effects, but if it's constantly negative, expect mono to punish you. Reduce width, reduce stereo modulation, or narrow the return. Now perceived loudness. When you make something wider, it often feels louder, even if the peak meter doesn't change much. So if you automate width up for the drop, your pad may jump forward and start stealing focus from the drums. A clean way to handle this is to also automate the utility gain slightly during your widest moments. Think of it as keep loudness consistent automation. A good starting point, when you go from around 80% width to around 170%, try trimming gain by about half a dB to 1.5 dB. Adjust by ear. The goal is that the pad feels wider, not louder. All right, optional but very effective, sidechain plus width automation. Put a compressor after your width utility. Turn on sidechain and feed it from the kick, or from kick and snare depending on your groove. Try ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds so you don't destroy the transient. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds, matching the tempo and the length of the pad. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. One advanced trick, if you're doing layered pads, sidechain only the wide layer, not the center core. That way the center stays stable and present, and the sides breathe with the groove. It's movement without obvious volume pumping. Now let's do a quick sound design and layering upgrade that's very intermediate DNB producer and solves a ton of width problems. Build a stable core plus unstable sides. Duplicate your pad track. Name one pad core and one pad sides. On pad core, keep it more centered. You can even put utility width at 0 to 60%. Optionally low pass it a bit, like 6 to 10 kHz. To keep it from taking over the air. On pad sides, put an EQ8 and high pass it hard, like 300 to 800 Hz. This is important. We're basically saying the sides are allowed to be wide, but not thick. Then put your chorus or micro delay, then reverb, then utility width automation. Set that sides utility anywhere from 140 to 200%, and automate mostly this track. This setup gives you that expensive, wide, cinematic feel while keeping the power and clarity in the center. If you want expensive width using stock-only tools, try micro delays instead of heavy chorus. Use simple delay on a return or on the sides layer. Turn off sync. Set left to around 12 to 18 milliseconds, right to around 18 to 28 milliseconds. Feedback at 0, and dry/wet around 10 to 25%. Then automate utility width after it. You often get a wide image with less phase chaos than big chorus. Now, another pro move. Mid/side EQ to keep width from clouding the snare body. On EQ 8, switch to M/S mode. On the side channel, dip around 250 to 700 HC by maybe 2 dB with a wide Q. That reduces side meat that can blur the snare. If you want air width, you can add a gentle shelf on the side above 8 to 12 KHE. That makes it wide up top without turning the mid-range into mush. Let's lock this in with a fast practice exercise. Set your project to 174 BPM. Make an 8-bar loop. Program simple drums. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. Add shuffled 16th hats. Add a simple steady bass, resource sub. Add one sustained pad chord. Now automate width like this. Bars 1 to 4 at 60%. Bar 5 ramp up to 160%. Bar 6 dip down to 90% for a quick breath. Bar 7 and 8 up to 170%. Now do the mono check with that master utility. If the pad collapses, reduce the maximum width to around 130 to 150% and high pass more. Your goal is, the drop feels wider, but the snare doesn't lose punch. Before we wrap, a couple arrangement level ideas that make width automation feel intentional instead of random. Use width to tell the listener where the center is. Indie NB, kick, snare, and bass own the center. So if your pad is super wide in a busy section, consider tiny width dips right on the snare hits, and then widen between them. You don't need to overdo it. Even subtle dips can make the snare feel louder without touching the drum mix. And give sections width signatures. Intro, narrow and darker. Build, widening and slightly brighter. Drop A, wide but stable. Breakdown, narrow but wetter. Drop B, wide with motion. If you mute everything else, you should still feel where you are in the song just from the stereo image. Now here's your homework challenge. If you want to level up, make a 32-bar DNB arrangement where stereo width changes feel intentional, and it still holds up in mono. Create two pad layers, core and sides. Automate three things: width on the sides utility, gain on that same sides utility to control perceived loudness, and reverb send. Write these moments. Bars 1 to 8 restrain sides, narrower and lower send. This audio version is shortened for playback.